This morning, would you please take your Bible and open to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. The Gospel of John and chapter 15. This morning, for the text, we're going to read verse 13, 14, and 15. So John chapter 15, verses 13, 14, and 15. Notice, please, verse 13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Those are the text verses we'll read for this morning's message. And please notice, before I pray, that the Lord has called his disciples friends. Let's pray. Lord, I love you, and I know these people do as well. And I ask you to help me as I speak today. There is a message that I believe you led me to bring for today's sermon. And I do hope that it will get through to the hearts of everyone who's listening. This fact that you are, yes, our Heavenly Father, you are our Lord and Master, you are our Savior, but you are also our friend. Thank you for that, Lord. Please speak through the message today and help everyone to be blessed and encouraged and strengthened by this thought that we have the God of heaven as our friend. Bless and help me, please, as I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. This matter of Jesus being our friend and Jesus being the friend of sinners, I think, is seen several times in God's Word. And in his life, when he was here on this earth, when he was ministering to people on this earth, he was criticized for this many, many times, for being a friend of sinners, for being one who would sit down and eat with them or walk along the way and talk with them. Many times in the New Testament, he was severely criticized for this, but he didn't stop, because that was his ministry. He was showing himself to be the very best friend that any man or woman could ever have. By the way, that's still true. There's a verse in the Old Testament, Proverbs 18:24, which says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Every time I read that verse, I always think about the fact that Jesus is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That verse, I think, speaks very clearly, at least to me, about Jesus and his friendship towards sinners like all of us. He is truly that friend that sticks closer than a brother. So this morning in the message, I entitle this, after the title of one of our hymns in our hymnal, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And I hope this message will be an encouragement to each and every one of you listening. Number one, I just have four main thoughts. Of course, there's always sub-points, you know, but the four main points that I have, the first one is, Jesus is the friend of every man. Jesus is the friend of every man. We know, according to his word, that he is the friend of every unsaved man. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you remember the chapter in Luke, chapter 15, where we have the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son? All three of those, of course, are a picture of God and his love for human beings like you and me. But each one of those stories has someone who was lost or something that was lost. And the master, if you remember the stories, the master sought for that thing that was lost or that one that was lost until he found it. Now, if that doesn't show love, I don't know what does. But Jesus is the friend of every man. He's the friend of every unsaved man. Again, that chapter in Luke is a beautiful picture of Jesus as the friend of those who are sinners and lost and need a Savior. He seeks for them and he searches for them until he finds them. That's why I can honestly say without any doubt, as long as they're breathing, there's still hope. Because our Lord is trying to get their attention. He's also the friend of every obedient Christian. The obedient Christian, of course, is the one who's trying their best to please the Lord in all that they do. Jesus is definitely a close friend to those Christians who are trying their best to please him and wanting to hear one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The way we do this, of course, is by obeying his word as best we can. I would encourage all of us here this morning, always do your best to try to obey the Savior. I know we'll not be perfect. I know that sometimes we'll fail him, but try. Give it your best shot. He likes obedient Christians. He's the friend of every unsaved man, of every obedient Christian. He's also the friend of every wayward Christian. Most of us here probably know someone who's been saved, but right now is out of step with the Lord. They're off doing whatever, and things, many of them, that aren't pleasing to the Lord. They're basically doing whatever they want to do, not necessarily what God wants them to do. Did you know that Jesus is their friend also? Now, he wants them to come back. He wants them to get back into a good standing again. Those stories in Luke 15, again, prove that. Remember the very last one about the lost son and how he took his father's inheritance and went and wasted it on riotous living. And then a day came where he realized that he was in the wrong and didn't have anything and wanted to go back to his father, realizing that even his father's servants had it better than he did. And so the Bible says he came to himself and then he went back to his father. And it's interesting in that story, the father didn't go looking for him. The father just waited for him. Kind of goes along with what we talked about in Sunday school near the end of the class today. The father just waited for him. And of course, God was working on the son's heart, and the son did come back. And when the son did come back, the father was so happy and so excited for that and said, you know, put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and give him a robe and kill the fatted calf and all that. That's a picture of God waiting for the wayward Christian to come back. He's waiting with open arms. He wants to restore the wayward Christian to a good standing again. He's the friend of every unsaved man, the friend of every obedient Christian, the friend of every wayward Christian. He is the friend of everyone. Listen, he is the friend of everyone who's in need of friendship. I hope you realize that Jesus is the best friend that you could ever have. That friendship is always available. It's right there. All you have to do is enjoy it. Amen? He promised us in his word, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." It's mentioned in the Bible, "When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will lift me up." He truly is a friend that is better than any other friend in this whole world. So he's the friend of every unsaved man, every obedient Christian, every wayward Christian, everyone who's in need of friendship. Do you find yourself in need of this friend? By the way, several times today in the message, I'm going to recommend him to you. Second main thought. Not only is Jesus the friend of every man, but Jesus, number two, has proved his friendship. He has proved it, for instance, in his word. In his word, which we know is the Bible, we have God's love letter to us. Right here in this precious book. Sarah, did we read from this book today?
Yes.
We did, didn't we? Amen. We spent some time and we read in God's word and we prayed together. That's before we came to church. I think it's good to get our heart ready for church, don't you? By the way, I encourage you to do that too. I recommend that to you. I think you'll get more out of church if you'll do that. But anyway, this is God's love letter to us. And through his love letter, we find the encouragement and support that we need for our daily living. He speaks to us through his word. And I would encourage you to allow him to speak to you, to your heart, to your mind. Allow him to speak to you. But you have to read his word to have that happen. Read it every day. It's always wise, in my opinion, to follow some kind of a plan so you're not reading the same passages over and over again. By the way, it may not seem like it, but we have a plan that we're using even in the choosing of hymns. I don't want to sing the same hymns every time that we have church, so I work my way through at least the hymns that I know. There's probably numerous ones that I pass that Debbie knows, but anyway, the songs that the song leader knows. It's easier for me to lead if I know it. But working your way through, see, and having a plan. Same way with reading the Bible. I know people that don't follow a plan and they really love, let's say, Isaiah, and they spend all their time in Isaiah. And Isaiah's a great book, but man, there's a lot of other books in there too. Hope you know there's 66 books in the Bible. Wow. Don't spend your time in just one. There's a lot there to learn from and to grow from and allow God to speak to your heart. So he's proved his friendship in his word. He's also proved his friendship in his ministry on earth. During his public ministry, I mentioned this a little bit during the introduction, he spent a lot of time, and this is, by the way, where you'd normally find him. You'd find him normally with the average man or woman. Not the uppity-ups, not the rich, not the powerful, not the Pharisees and scribes. Oh, they had plenty of interaction. But most of the time, if you wanted to find the Lord Jesus, you'd find him with just the common person. And he would be ministering to them, talking with them, loving on them, sharing biblical principles with them. In fact, it happened so often that, and I know you remember this, the scribes and the Pharisees were constantly criticizing him for that very thought. I mean, they would say to the disciples, for instance, why does your master spend so much time with publicans and sinners? We've actually seen him eat with them. God forbid. Can't you just hear the Pharisees doing that? But their criticism did not stop him because, again, that was what his earthly ministry was all about, is being with those common people. And you might remember this from the scriptures too. The Bible says about the Lord Jesus that the common people heard him gladly. Many of the others, of course, they were too judgmental and too hard on the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and so they didn't hear him. Jesus has proved his friendship in his word. He's proved his friendship in his ministry on earth. He's proved his friendship in his death on the cross. Why would Jesus die on the cross for people like you or me? We don't deserve that. By the way, did you know he did that before you ever asked him to? During his public ministry, of course, it was all leading toward the cross. And do you remember this when Jesus was on the cross and people were mocking and ridiculing and saying all kinds against him falsely? Jesus' own words on the cross said this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Is that not a friend? What type of person does that for sinful people like us? I can tell you, the one who does that is the one who truly is a friend of sinners and a friend of people like us. He's proved his friendship in his word, in his ministry on earth, in his death on the cross, and I think he's still proving his friendship toward us every day. You may not think about this very often, but when I was preparing these thoughts, I had this thought, so I put it down. I think it was of the Lord, but think about this with me. Every day, Jesus is waiting for you as you rise in the morning. Sometimes people will say, well, I'm too busy. I don't have time to spend time in the Word of God and prayer, especially early in the morning. Friend, He's waiting for you when you rise in the morning. Yesterday, I mentioned yesterday I got a phone call from Randy King, and he's been a friend of mine for a long, long time. I bet it's close to 50 years now that we've been friends. Or more. Yeah, because again, we knew each other in high school, so that goes back a ways. But even in our saved times, it's been at least 50 years. But one of the things that I said to him before we hung up the phone is that in just a matter of days, I'll see you. He said, you will? And he said, where? And I said, well, you're scheduled to be the speaker at Faith Baptist Church in Oak Creek for the Baptist for Life rally. I'm planning to be there. Oh, boy, that'd be good to see you again. Good to renew our friendship again. When you have a true friend, you look forward to spending time with them. Jesus is waiting for you when you rise in the morning. Don't tell Him that you're too busy. This is going to sound strange to some, but make time to spend with Him. Because that's what you do with a friend. Every day, Jesus is willing to meet you in the morning. He's willing to walk with you throughout the day. He's willing to guide you. He's willing to be there for you when you need Him. Friend, there is no friend greater than the Lord Jesus. There is none. Number one, He's the friend of every man. Number two, He has proved His friendship, and He is proving it every day. Third main point this morning is this. Jesus' friendship is a privilege. It's a privilege. Now, I don't know how you feel towards me, but I can tell you how I feel towards you. I count you as my friends also. I mentioned Randy King. I had a text this morning. In fact, let me read this to you, because this comes from another dear friend of mine. And since my heart attack, he's texted me every Sunday morning. He was in my very first church in Appleton. Starts out with 1 Timothy 1:12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Then he goes on to say this, if I may, I am thankful for you and your faithfulness to the ministry. You are a great example for me to follow, and I appreciate you very much. May you preach the word today with power, authority, and wisdom. Thank you for all you do. Love you and praying for you today. Well, I don't know about you, but I like getting texts like that. I've gotten a few nasty ones through the years, but I like that one. Here's my reply to this friend. Thank you, brother. Your words are very kind. I sure appreciate your friendship and prayers. I love that verse you quoted. It's one of my favorites as it applies to the ministry. Hope you have a great Sunday, and God bless you. This man and I have been friends also for a number of years because he was in our very first church in Appleton. The point I'm trying to make here is that when you have a true friend, not only do you want to see them, not only do you want to spend time with them and talk with them, but their friendship, please don't miss this, their friendship is a privilege. Don't ever take your friends for granted. And don't ever take the friendship of the Lord Jesus for granted. This friend, Jesus, is a friend with infinite power. Understand that the Bible reminds us that nothing is too difficult for Jesus to handle. This morning in the adult Sunday school class, we talked a little bit about, have you ever tried being in charge and how did that work out for you and all that? And of course, you know, there was laughter in the audience because many of us have tried being in charge, you know, of our own life and situations and so forth, and it never works out very well when we try to do it ourselves. But when we allow the Lord, who has infinite power, to handle situations, He always handles it so much better than we do. And the results are always so much better. Understand that nothing is too difficult for Him. There's nothing, please don't miss this, there's nothing too large for him, but there's also nothing too small for him. Jesus has infinite power, and he's right there and happy to help you if you will call on him. If you will call on him. So this friendship being a privilege, he's a friend with infinite power. He's also a friend with infinite wisdom. I don't know about you, but a lot of times I don't know what to do. There are several times in life where I don't know what to do. There have been many times in my life where I thought I knew what to do. I thought I knew, you know, and found out that wasn't the right thing to do. Several times like that in my life. I've gotten to the place where I asked the Lord about almost everything. I say almost because I'm sure there's things that I forget to, you know, but I ask him about things constantly. Big things, small things, in-between things. Why? Because this friend, capital F, this friend has infinite wisdom. By the way, the Bible says he knows the end from the beginning. He already knows what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. Wouldn't it be foolish not to ask him for help? And doesn't the Bible tell us this in James 1, verse 5? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, it doesn't mean the women are excluded. Okay, when it says he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But it's referring to everyone, all of us. If any of you lack wisdom, don't you love that? If any of you lack wisdom, not just the pastor, not just the deacons, not just somebody important, but, and by the way, you're important, but you understand what I'm saying. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men or all people liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But once again, you have to ask. Jesus has infinite wisdom, and he's willing to share it with you and with me, but we have to ask. There are a lot of times when we need to tap into that wisdom to solve the problems that we have. And friend, once again, all we have to do is ask. All we have to do is ask. His friendship is a privilege because he has infinite power. He has infinite wisdom. This friend has infinite love. Many people know that the world is a cold and heartless place. If you don't believe that, just watch the news. Just a matter of days ago, right out here on Highway N, where it meets up with the interstate, at the BP station, a man was robbed by two younger men. A man was robbed and shot and died. Just up the road a little bit. Thankfully, they caught those two guys who robbed and shot and killed this man. But when I first heard about that, I thought, what? In little bitty Pleasant Springs, that can happen? Oh, friend, it can happen anywhere. I remember Brother Rick Helsted telling me when he was a policeman here in our city, Pastor, there are things that go on in this little bitty town that you would, it just make your head swim. You'd rather not know. But see, as a policeman, he saw a lot of those things and was called to a lot of those things. The point I'm trying to make here is that the world can be a cold and wicked and vicious place. There is one, though, who has infinite love, who's willing to surround you with that love and cover you with that love if you'll just allow him to. His love is always there. His love will never fail you. Won't you let him wrap his arms around you? And I don't know if you ever do this, but sometimes in the evening, because we like the house to get cooled down before we go to bed at night, we turn the heat down, and so we might sit and watch some television program and have a throw blanket over us. And that's what I think of with God's love. Let him throw that throw blanket around you and just love on you. God's good at that. This friend that I'm recommending to you. He's a friend that has infinite power, infinite wisdom, infinite love. He's a friend who is ever present. Again, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Jesus has promised each and every one of us that he will always be with us in every situation we face. This one that I'm trying to recommend to you today, what a friend we have in Jesus, is the friend of every man. He has proved his friendship. His friendship is a privilege. The last main point I want to give to you is this. Jesus' friendship is transforming. His friendship transformed the unsaved. There was a day, of course, when I was unsaved. And I met the Lord. And he became my friend and I became his friend. And to know him and his friendship is to be a changed person. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. The change comes because of the transformation that takes place because of salvation. His friendship transforms the unsaved. At one time, we were heading down a path. You ready for this? At one time, we were heading down a path that today is foreign to us. I don't go to those places anymore. I don't meet those people anymore. I'm not involved in those behaviors anymore. I don't say those words anymore. I mean, he's transformed my life. Doesn't make me better than anyone, but it does show the value of his friendship. By the way, the end result of that former path is a place called hell. Aren't you glad you're not headed there? His friendship transforms the unsaved. His friendship motivates the believer to live a life of obedience. Obedience is not something we are forced to do. Obedience is something we desire to do. I can't speak for you, but I came to church today because I wanted to. I'm really glad you showed up. Apparently you wanted to too. But see, obedience, whether it's reading your Bible, giving to the Lord's work, praying, going to church, witnessing to others, obedience is not something we're forced to do. It's something we desire to do. We desire to be obedient because we know that pleases him. And we desire to be obedient because we know he wants us to. By the way, we also are obedient because of all he does for us. His friendship transforms the unsaved. It motivates the believer to a life of obedience. His friendship brings that obedient believer many blessings. Are you blessed today because you know the Lord? Of course you are. All of us are, right? We enjoy a lot of things that we wouldn't get to enjoy otherwise simply because we have Jesus as our very best friend. Here's just a few things that I'll rattle off rather quickly, but what about good health? Yeah, but Pastor, you had a heart attack not that many months ago. That's true. But please notice I'm still here. Amen. It's one of the things I told Brother King on the phone yesterday. I have a lot to be thankful for because I'm still here. I guess God still has a work for me to do. One of those things is to recommend this friend to you. Physical health, good physical health, that's a blessing from the Lord. By the way, since then, of course, we got more determined to walk every day, right, which we've been doing. And we've also been more determined to eat better. Lo and behold, since the heart attack. I have lost 26 and a half pounds. I wear some of the pants, slacks, that I wore before the heart attack, and I tease my wife this way. I say, I'm the man with the baggy pants. And she laughs at me and she says, make sure you cinch up your belt before you go out of the house because those pants will fall right to the floor. Don't know if you've noticed or not, but the last few weeks I've been wearing this suit that's been hanging in the closet probably since Phil and Sarah got married because I outgrew it. But now I fit into it again. I hope I'm on my way to better health. Friendship with the Lord Jesus brings many blessings into our life, like good physical health. How about good mental health? How many people today are plagued mentally? A lot of that could be solved if they knew the Lord as their Savior and their friend. What about good financial health? What about good relationship health? I mean, the list can go on and on, can't it? These things that are all changed because you know the Lord as your Savior and as your friend, it brings to your life many, many blessings. Now, friend, the opposite is also true when you're not in friendship with the Lord Jesus and living in obedience. And I think this is true. Maybe you would too if you think about it. A lot of times you can see in a person's life the blessings of God. And you can also see when they lack the blessings of God. I'm thinking about someone right now that I won't mention any names. You'd know this person. Nobody here, okay? They live in another state. But I think you might know them. Their life is just going from one bad thing to another bad thing to another bad thing to another bad thing to another bad thing. In fact, this person said last year was the worst year they've ever had. This year, by the way, doesn't seem to be starting out much better. But anyway, the reason I bring this up, and again, leaving names out of it, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Because the blessings of the Lord come as we walk obediently with Him and make Him our very best friend. His friendship transforms the unsaved. It motivates the believer to a life of continued obedience. It brings the obedient believer many blessings. His friendship, by the way, brings back the wayward Christian into a proper relationship with the Father. Again, the prodigal son's a good example of that. He decided to come back to his father. Why? Because he thought his father would beat the tar out of him? No, because he believed his father would love on him and receive him back. And he would enjoy blessings again with his father. Those blessings included things like new shoes, new robe, new ring, and a feast. The blessings, listen, the blessings were always there, but he couldn't enjoy them until he got back right with his father. Those blessings make it back as you make your way back. His friendship transforms the unsaved, motivates the believer to a life of obedience, brings that obedient believer many blessings, brings back the wayward Christian into a proper relationship with the Father. His friendship also, by the way, makes life worth living. Is there anybody here who knows for sure that you're saved that wishes you were lost? I don't know about you, but not me. No, not me. I don't want to go back to my lost days. When you know that you have this special relationship with Jesus, it changes how you see and approach life. This relationship with Jesus makes life worth living because you always know that He's there. He's with you. He loves you. He gives you wisdom. He gives you many blessings, protection, food. I mean, so many things. He's there to help you. This is a life that's lived with Jesus. That's a great life. And then His friendship, as I mentioned, is transforming. It transforms the unsaved. It motivates the believer to a life of continued obedience. It brings that obedient believer many blessings. It brings back the wayward Christian into proper relationship with the Father. It makes life worth living. Here's my last thought. And just in a minute, we're going to look at that hymn, by the way. His friendship causes us to look forward to heaven. Now, I know some of you in this room, including me, we have loved ones in heaven. And they're waiting for us. And I'm sure, because there's no time in heaven, it'll be like that to them. To us, it's not that way because we're here on earth. And I'm sure you look forward to seeing them, as I do. But the very first one I want to see is my friend Jesus. And I want to thank him for making this possible. One of the best things about this friendship with Jesus is the fact that when earthly life is over, we have heaven to look forward to. When you know the Lord Jesus like this, you actually look forward to going to heaven. Life on earth with Jesus is good, but life in heaven with Jesus is better. And we look forward to that. And then just add to that, like, you know, whipped cream and a cherry on top of the sundae, our friends will be there too and our loved ones. So, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Now, if you take your songbook, just real quickly, we just got a couple minutes to go. Look at 345 in your songbook, number 345. This song is where I got the title for this message. Help a lot if I'd get to the right page. There it is. What a friend we have in Jesus. Look at the words. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. What a great hymn. And what a great message about this friend called Jesus. Can I encourage you this morning to take seriously this recommendation? There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. And as we started out in John 15, he said here, if you'll look with me, I hope you kept it open, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, Jesus did that for us when he died on the cross. Verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. That's again obedient Christian. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. I don't know what you think, but I'm humbled that God calls me his friend. Jesus calls me his friend. There never will be a friend better than Jesus. I recommend him to you today, highly. If you don't know him as your friend, as your Savior and your Lord, please consider that today. Would you stand with me, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking? We don't want to embarrass anyone. What a friend we have in Jesus. Father in heaven, please speak to hearts here in the invitation time. If there's anyone here that does not know you yet as Lord and Savior and friend, may this be the day that all that changes, because they come to you and receive your gift of salvation. For those of us who are already saved, help us to develop that friendship. Help us to appreciate that friendship. Help us to enjoy that friendship. It's there, it's available, it's offered. I love you, Lord. And I thank you for being my friend that sticks closer than a brother. Bless the invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.